This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
NFL draft this Thursday. Texans, as of right now, Texans picking Friday, 42nd and 59th and 86th overall on Friday. And then they got a bunch of day three picks. We'll talk more about what the strategy might be at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. But a good question on Twitter this morning. I was going to hit some of the QB drama going on, and we will in this segment. But I had not even thought about this. But good thoughts now on Twitter hit me with a question before the show today and basically said, hey, where are the S2 scores at?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where are the leaked S2 scores?
Yeah, no S2 scores released for any draftees this year with a like, hand on chin emoji, which I love the sassy emojis that go with it. But yeah, man, where are the S2 scores? You know where the S2 scores are? With a knife between their shoulder blades in the back of an alley somewhere. And you know who killed them? C.J. Stroud. That's who.
C.J. Stroud, yeah.
He murdered
the S2. You'll never pin him with it.
No. No, but that's
Sean Pendergast is holding the weapon.
That's who did it. I would. For C.J. Stroud, I would. Yeah.
You did, that's the exact same thing you told me. You told me after you interviewed C.J. at that charity event.
Yes.
You came back to me and you said with 100% seriousness, you looked into my eyes and said, I would cover up a murder for that.
I would.
I would.
Of a standardized test. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, not a person.
Right. No, so he beat the hell out of the S2, and it ain't coming back no more. I think that teams do value the S2 cognition test. What they're not going to do is act like all of a sudden some company had found the be-all, end-all for quarterback evaluation.
Not anymore.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get a good S2 score, then you just simply can't be a good NFL quarterback. Bam. What'd you base that on? Several years of in which actually no good quarterbacks were drafted anyways.
I would be curious if the S2 people lost business over C.J. Stroud. Like if some teams looked at and said, okay, this is a big... This, now, granted, it's one big miss. We don't know what other misses there have been. This is just a really high profile, the biggest high profile one.
No, I think the sum total of it was that the teams that, I think most of the teams that use it as a tool. The same way as, like, you know, just because, okay, DK Metcalf had, like, one of the worst three cone drills of all time. And yet, he ended up being, didn't really hurt him in the NFL.
No.
It's not like teams wholesale now don't care about the three cone drill.
Right.
It's just, it's one test that adds to the picture of what you may or may not be dealing with.
Yeah. If I were the S2 people, like I would, like this year at least, I would be like, hey, whatever team leaked the score, because I guarantee they know who leaked the scores last year, because they love that the scores got leaked last year. You know, Bryce.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They loved it.
They were granting all kinds of interviews.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Well, and they, yeah, when they were, and once CJ turned out as really good, they granted even more interviews so they could try to clean up the mess that was left behind by his score.
Yeah. They were pointing out that, like, well, we can't divulge anything,
right.
But there were a couple that we had suggested the teams ignore.
Yeah.
We told them, ignore these tests for these players.
Ignore these or retake them. Maybe you should have the guy retake the test or whatever.
Yeah.
So if I'm the S2 people, I would have been like, whichever teams were leaking them last year, I'm like, hey, don't leak them this year. It's because you know what's going to happen. Nobody's going to buy them because of C.J. Stroud. You know, nobody's going to buy the narrative because C.J. Stroud was so amazing. All they're going to do is go to us on social media and make fun of us and hit us with memes of blind mice or stupid people or things like that, you know?
That's what the blind mice has to cognition people.
Yeah.
The old Gary Larson tattoo of the kid pushing on the door that says pull at the school for gifted children.
Yes.
That's the S2 cognition.
We don't need that heat this year. We need another year to let this thing kind of cool off with CJ Stroud. Yeah.
And they tried to use this year kind of like a soft reopening at a restaurant where it's friends and family are in, but like, we'll keep the critics out for a little bit. Let's get the operation back in order before we open for business again.
Some Pop Warner quarterbacks from families that they knew come take the S2 test. That was it.
The owners of the S2 cognition test around about midway through last year had their binder where it was like their phase 2 world domination through screening and screening people.
Yeah.
They're about to get fascists on our ass.
Yes.
And they realize like, oh crap, wait, we need to go back to the drawing board. We haven't quite figured out how to quantify human beings yet.
Oh my God. Yeah. So no, haven't heard anything on it yet. To answer your question, good thoughts now on Twitter. Not heard anything about the S2 test. So there's still time. Draft is Thursday. Now, I guess the big drama going on in the draft this year is at number two. We all know Caleb Williams is going number one to Chicago. We'll see how that works out. I guess the drama here is now at number two, where Jaden Daniels is kind of the favorite, but there's a lot of people thinking Drake May might go there from North Carolina. But the Jaden Daniels drama, there are reports that he was not happy with Washington, or he hasn't been happy with Washington's vetting process. Seth and I talked last week about how Washington had four quarterbacks visit at the same time. You know, just some weird experiment, I guess, where they're all going to interact with each other. But Jaden Daniels' agent, Ron Butler is his name, kind of passive-aggressively tweeted about it. He emoji-tweeted about it to kind of express some displeasure over that. Here is ESPN's Jeremy Fowler with a positively Fowler-esque report on what exactly is going on with the Jaden Daniels situation.
It does feel like that there is some smoke here. That's sort of undeniable at this point. I spoke to somebody who's involved in Daniels' process who does openly wonder, is Daniels looking at his options right now? Now, he has had interest in playing for the Raiders. That is real.
Sure.
Staying on the West Coast, reuniting with Antonio Pierce from the Arizona State days, but they picked 13th. It's going to be hard to make that sort of trade happen. Intrigue in Minnesota as well. That's not to say that he doesn't have interest in playing for Washington eventually. I cannot confirm that that's any different, but as was told to me, this has not gone as smoothly as it should for a player who's a viable candidate for the number two overall pick. It should be sort of pretty clear at this point. Talking to people in Washington, they still expect that Daniels is, you know, a good candidate to be the pick here and could very well happen, but there's just a lot of smoke right now. I've reached out to his agency.
These guys,
and told there could be a statement at some point, but nothing yet.
He said could four times. There's a lot of smoke. Somehow this whole thing that Jaden Daniels controls his destiny, but he could wind up with the Raiders who are picking 13th.
Like, no, but also just like, okay, that this process hasn't gone as smoothly as it should for a guy who's supposed to be a second-round pick. Okay, I'm going to need more clarity on that. Sometimes these guys just get hissy that people aren't feeding them information, I think. I swear. I mean, was it... Ultimately, what was the harm in the Texans keeping everything as quiet as possible before the draft? And these guys just flat out, guys like Jeremy Fowler last night, were twisting in the wind when you realize that, okay, when their little moles can't feed them the information they can, they just start pulling stuff out their own wazoo. I have no idea. I don't trust these guys one bit when it comes to I think sometimes they think the public's expectations are more of them than they actually are. Okay, oh, you don't know. Just say you don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, it hasn't gone as smoothly as it should. What the hell does that mean?
Well,
what does that even mean?
And in the end, the report was that, boy, things are going sideways. He doesn't want to go with Washington. And then by the end, it's like he could wind up with Washington. You know, like there's no direction here on any of this. And so this is, we don't play that audio to sit here and poke fun at Jeremy Fowler.
I do.
This is like he's viewed as one of the, he's not Schefter or Rapoport, but he's certainly above the line of an opinion that people read and internalize and respect, and that's the information that he's getting right now. For what it's worth, Jaden Daniels' publicist says, basically tweeted that everyone's full of crap on this, and that reportedly, according to Ralph Vacchiano, who is an NFC East reporter for Fox Sports, tweeted yesterday, I don't know if Jaden Daniels wants to play for the Commanders or would prefer another team, but the flap about his agent being unhappy about the group QB visit to Washington is a bit overblown. The two sides have talked since, and they've settled any issues. So that's where we are. But that's like this is kind of nice as a Texan fan to be able to watch all the other teams deal with this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like it's like watching a fireworks show.
It is interesting that some of the reports, I feel like sometimes I try to figure out some of these reports where teams start treating the organization like it's the exact same people that have always been in control or in charge. And it's weird because Washington has been almost, people are almost acting like Snyder is still the boss. And they talk about what a dysfunctional franchise it is and all these other things, which I get historically. And yet, like, what is, I can't figure out what I'm missing in that they haven't really had a chance to demonstrate any dysfunction yet, other than perhaps this weird little four quarterbacks all visiting at once thing.
That, I think that was, I was kind of like poking around to see what people in Washington were saying about all this. And I do think the sense I got, Seth, is that there was a frustration among Washington fans that they thought this will finally be a draft where people aren't pointing at us, you know, like a circus animal or something. And now here they are getting pointed at like they're a circus animal. Different ownership and different reasons. Obviously, the reasons they got pointed at with Snyder went far beyond football. But I think they were like, finally, we're just going to be a normal bad team, you know?
And now it just, they get a picture of what was like, look at what happened to the Texans last year. And I guess that's why I'm getting sensitive on behalf of Washington fans, just because the Texans were in that same position last year where no matter what they did or what happened or who they were looking at, everything automatically gets treated like, oh my gosh, what a huge failure. Oh, look, can you believe the Texans are doing this? Oh my gosh, the Texans aren't even going to take a quarterback? Can you believe this? Remember all the rants from people public who were ranting in advance about the Texans not taking a quarterback? They just couldn't believe how stupid the Texans were. That yet another stupid thing they're going to do, they're not taking a quarterback. That's why I don't trust any of these dudes.
Yeah.
Because I think they read way too much into any little thing, and they've got they see it through a filter of like, oh yeah, this organization, they're playing in the same stadium as the team that was there 10 years ago, so they must be doing everything wrong.
So, and your point is, it's spot on. If you're in your car right now going, then why did you play the audio, Sean? Why are we talking about this? As a warning label, and you should know this, Texan fans, for all the things Seth just pointed out over the last minute or so, is that, as Bill Belichick said on the Pat McAfee show last week, none of this stuff really starts to take on shreds of truth until about 12 hours before the draft, until about Thursday morning is when the truth starts to come out. We'll point out, as we did last week, that the one mock draft that had the Texans taking C.J. Stroud at 2 and trading up with the Cardinals from 12 to 3 to take Will Anderson was Daniel Jeremiah the day before the draft.
The day before the draft. Yeah. So a little bit more than 12 hours beforehand.
Yeah,
I think,
or at least give or take.
By the time he actually published everything,
we'll call it 12 to 24. Yeah.
I think you're overthinking whether people care about why we played something or not. That's the. Okay. Did somebody complain to you about us playing that?
No. I'm just. It was just a way of talking of me getting around to my point.
I just Jeremy Fowler angers me ever since he did that. Remember, there was a report last year where somebody texted him or emailed and said, nobody knows what the Texans are doing. And Jeremy Fowler reported it as, yes, I received this text. Nobody knows what the Texans are doing. Yeah. Like, all right, settle down, cowboy. Yeah. All the guy was saying was like, what the truth was. Nobody knows what the Texans were doing because they didn't.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Did you see Russell Wilson throwing a first pitch out wearing a baseball glove over the weekend?
Yeah, I did. I wondered. I'm glad you pointed out what was weird about it. I thought it was it. I was looking at it. I was like, why is this different? And I thought maybe it was because he was wearing just athletic shorts.
Yeah.
And, like, he looked more like he was out there for batting practice or something.
Yeah.
But you pointed out that he was wearing a glove.
He was wearing a glove. And I do what I do. Russell Wilson, he's corny. So I tweeted out, like, have fun with this dork, Pittsburgh. You know, like, classic Twitter stuff. Stuff that I'm sure Russ looks at and takes a nasty plunge in his pile of cash that he has and says, scoreboard, which he should. So it was interesting. So I put up a poll. And I said, Russell Wilson wore a mitt while throwing out a ceremonial first pitch this weekend. Is this acceptable? And I was a little surprised at the – well, do you want to take a guess, Seth? Did you look at this poll? I know you like to guess these things.
I'm guessing –
The two choices are sure, why not? Is it acceptable? Or nope, total dork. Those are the two choices.
If it were anybody but Russell Wilson, I think you'd get 78% sure, why not?
Yeah.
I think you probably got 55% sure, why not?
52.3. That was a good guess by you. 52.3. It's inside the margin
for error.
I've
got my finger on the pulse of the people.
Yeah. So 52.3. What was interesting was, one, just like how vocal the 52.3% were about sticking up for Russ, like of all the people to stick up for.
It was like they're sticking up for the wave. They took it personal because it was something that they have either done or would think about doing.
The reason why a lot of them were sticking up for him was, well, you know, he was drafted to play baseball. He played baseball, so it would stand to reason he would wear a glove. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's what makes it worse. That's what those people who are trying to well actually you don't know the history of Russell Wilson and him like going to spring training with I can't even remember which team it was. All of that. That's the cheesy part of Russell Wilson.
Or the history of first pitches where hundreds of former baseball players have walked out to the mound without a glove.
Right.
And like I'm like, man, am I taking crazy pills here? Like, of course he'd wear a glove. He used to play baseball. Like, okay. So if you didn't used to play baseball, then you're a complete nerd if you wear the glove. But Russell Wilson, he played baseball. So it's okay that he wears a glove on a soft toss to home. Like, what do you
Just like how I wear a full football uniform on Sundays in the press box.
Yeah.
You'll be like, "Oh, okay, yeah, there's or if I ever get chosen."
Ever got asked to do the coin toss before the game, yeah.
I'm going to be out there in a full uniform.
Right.
Because I got drafted once. That's what the one you quote tweeted said. Well, he was drafted in the MLB. So, yeah. So was Nolan Ryan was drafted in the MLB.
Yeah.
And he whenever I've seen Nolan Ryan throw a first pitch, Hall of Famer, no less.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't wear a glove.
It was these people are like, of course he'd wear a glove. He used to play baseball. I'm like, I've never seen a former baseball player. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody wear a glove throwing out a first pitch before that I can think of. And trust me, I spent way too much time Googling it yesterday.
This is the problem, though. This is the problem. If Gronk had done it, I think the majority of people would think it was the coolest thing ever.
Maybe.
If Gronk went out there wearing it. It's mostly a Russell Wilson thing. If somebody went out there and was just having fun with it,
Jameis, who interviewed a fish this weekend on the deck of a boat, yes, yeah.
And Jameis was a baseball player, too.
Yep.
People would wait. You might be the one well-actually-ing people on that one. Somebody would say, like, here's stupid Jameis again. And you'd say, well, I mean, he did play baseball at Florida State.
That's true. Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Good to be with you. Reaction Monday. We're reacting to a lot of stuff. Draft this week. We're going to get to the Texans in the draft at the top of the hour. What could day two look like for the Texans? But up next, we've got headlines. Some of them bad, some of them good, but we've got them all for you coming up next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.